Love you, love you. Bye for Martha. You're welcome to talk to me.
Okay. All right. So good morning, everybody. I'd like to call this July 7th, 2023 meeting of the Arizona State Board to order at 8:03. Roll call, agenda item B, roll call. Ms. Becker, would you call roll, please?
Yes. Dr. Mastoris? Dr. Mastoris? Dr. Cohen? Dr. Carpenter?
Present.
Dr. Brown?
Present.
Diva Galan? Sammy Hamed? Dr. Mastoris?
Present.
Mastoris again?
I'm Dr. Moffitt and I'm also present.
Okay, and Dr. Moffitt.
And hi, this is Dr. Cohen. I'm president. I'm on the phone.
Oh, thank you.
Through. I'm on Zoom. I'll keep trying.
Okay, and legal counsel, Mona Baskin.
Present. Good morning. This is Mona Baskin. I am present by phone, and I also am having trouble getting in on Zoom. So, Dr. Cohen, you're not alone in that. I'm going to keep trying.
It's comfort in numbers. Thank you very much.
Right.
Board staff, Margaret Whelan.
Present.
And Fawn Becker, present.
Thank you. Agenda item C, board purpose statement. The board meeting statement of purpose, a license to practice optometry in the statement is, in the state is a privilege granted by the Arizona legislature through the Optometric Practice Act. In 1907, on behalf of the people of the state, the legislature created the Arizona State Board of Optometry to regulate the practice of the profession of optometry, issue licensure where appropriate, and in general, assure the public that the practice of optometry will be conducted with reasonable skill and safety by persons who meet the curriculum requirements to hold a Doctor of Optometry degree from an accredited optometry school. To enforce the Optometric Practice Act, the board reviews applications for licensure and complaints relative to the conduct of its licensed optometrists and is charged with determining if the provisions of the Optometric Practice Act are met. In addition, the board may promulgate rules and policies in conformity with the stated purpose of the board and the mission as mandated by law. As of January 1, 2019, all board meetings are digitally recorded with the recordings of the audio available to the public on the board's website under the consumer information link. Agenda item D, declaration of conflicts of interest, if any, for this meeting. Are there any conflicts anticipated for the meeting amongst the board members? I see no. Okay. E, president's report. I have no report this morning. Agenda item F, review, discussion, and possible action on investigative reviews and complaints. Number one, Serena Shao, OD. Let's see if we have, Ms. Stark, are you counsel?
Yes, I am, Madam President, Sarah Stark.
Okay, and you're here for Dr. Shao's complaint, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, great. So we'll start with Dr. Shao's complaint. IR number 202315. Is patient WC present? And is Dr. Shao present?
She may be having issues with her Zoom, but I think we can proceed without her. And then if for some reason you guys need to ask her questions, I'll see what's going on with her.
Okay. All right. So you just keep us posted then, I guess, if you hear from her.
Okay. Yeah.
Board summary first. Can I get a board summary from one of the members?
I'm happy to do that. Dr. Brown. So the complaint appears to be that patient WC was seen in 2022. It was unclear as to whether he had met his deductible or not. They did not collect for that at that time. The office reports that they billed during the year. Patient WC says they didn't receive the bill. Nonetheless, the next year, when the patient came in, he was billed for the unpaid deductible from the year before. And so his complaint appears, patient's complaint appears to be that he had to pay it later. And he seems to be questioning the total, the bill he paid in 2023.
Great. I'll also tack on, because I think Dr. Brown, that you weren't at our last meeting, that we discussed this complaint at our previous meeting.
Oh, okay.
There was further discussion. And so I'm just going to summarize that, because I think Dr. Mastoris was also not at that last meeting. But part of a concern that I raised, at least with Dr. Shao's complaint, was that this was a patient who had a history of retinal detachment in his right eye, was pseudophakic. He had not been dilated by the record that we could see. And I had concerns about standard of care being met in this patient's care. So that was one of the issues that was raised, and it didn't show in the record at that time that there had been any discussion regarding the importance of dilation or the refusal by the patient or any education on the part of Dr. Shao to the patient about the importance of dilation. So at the time though, the board was undecided and pushed the matter forward to this meeting to give Dr. Shao an opportunity to produce records that showed a discussion regarding refusal to dilate and patient education. So I think that brings us up to date. So this is an opportunity then towards Council, Ms. Stark, if you'd like to discuss Dr. Shao's complaint.
Madam President, excuse me, before we move forward, I believe patient WC has come up to the meeting. I don't know if the patient first or if you want.
Okay, I'm having a little bit of trouble with you, with hearing you, Margaret, but did you say patient WC is present?
Yes.
Okay, so before Ms. Stark's comments then, patient WC, if you'd like to take this opportunity to address the board regarding your complaint with Dr. Shao, this is the time. I see your microphone is muted, patient WC.
Hello.
There we go. Hello.
I cannot hear you now. I unmuted myself.
Okay. You can still talk.
I can't hear you for some reason. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
I can't hear anybody. Look at the button. Let's see.
Margaret, you could maybe send WC a chat to let him know we can hear him.
I'm still not hearing you. I heard that there was an issue made about dilating my pupils. I did not want them dilated that day. I am a physician. I'm an MD. I know I've been through retinal detachment. I've been through retinal surgery. I am well aware of the implications of everything. I've had regular follow-up of it. There seems to be a problem for us now in the area, at least getting into an ophthalmologist. It seems like you have to go through an optometrist first and then be referred to an ophthalmologist. Again, are you hearing me now? Because,
yep.
Okay. So I had seen an ophthalmologist probably 2 years prior, but I always try to get an eye exam at least once a year. And if there's any issues with my vision or if the optometrist notes anything, I would not hesitate to have my pupils dilated. That's not my issue. My issue here was being charged for Medicare a year later instead of being billed for it at the time or within a couple of months of my appointment in 2022. The doctor did not even know I would be back in 2023 to her for another exam. So she's claiming, her office is claiming they billed me a number of times and I had never gotten even one bill Anytime I get a bill from a doctor that isn't covered by Medicare or otherwise, I pay it the same day, if not within 24 hours of it. So it would have been paid. So I ended up having an out-of-pocket because of that. And she claimed that I told her that I had met my Medicare deductible, and I never tell the physician's office that because I don't know. So it's up to the physician's office to check and see if I met my deductible. And when I went this year in 2023, they did indeed check it and said it was met for 23. But again, going back to 22, at the end of the visit, she said all of a sudden, well, we're going to bill you for last year because you didn't meet your deductible. And I thought that was peculiar, and I wanted to touch base with Medicare on that and see if that's really legal, because I never did it with my Medicare patients. And they referred me to go to the Optometric Association to go to the specialty board. And that's why I'm here. The other issue was that I was being charged extra for the prescription, something like $40 to $50, which was fine, which I didn't have in 2022. And that was added to the amount of me not meeting my deductible last year. But it still exceeded that amount by about $20 to $30. And I thought that was peculiar also, because Medicare is very specific about if you take their assignment about billing them for more and about being responsible to pay for more. And I submitted my Medicare results from 2022 to show that that's the case, that I was only responsible for X amount. I was billed for more than that. So I thought the two things were peculiar, that I was billed for more than I should have been. And why was I billed a year later claiming that, oh, we did bill you and you didn't respond? No, I was not billed. So those are my issues.
Okay, thank you, Patient WC. I'll open this up now to Ms. Stark, if you'd like to address the board.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. Good morning, Madam President.
I need to hear you again. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
I'm so sorry. I don't know why this is happening.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So again, my name is.
I'm not hearing you.
Margaret, would you mind? I'm sorry.
Coming back.
Margaret, would you mind sending patient WC at least a chat to mute his microphone?
Yes. Let me do that.
Okay. That way, Ms. Stark, you won't get interrupted, I think, once you start.
I'll go ahead and then we'll see what happens. So again, I'm Sarah Stark and I'm counsel for Dr. Shao. And so I was actually not at the prior meeting either. I was not involved in the case at that time. But I did listen to the audio from the last meeting, and I wanted to just make a few comments and clarify a few things based on that discussion at the May meeting. So it's my understanding that As WC has just indicated, the original complaint was related to a billing issue, and there was discussion and determination by several of the board members at that time that that was not an area that they were concerned about. However, in review of the prior records produced, there was concern about Dr. Chow's failure to dilate the patient at either visit, and specifically discussion around whether continuing education would be appropriate due to a pattern of a failure to dilate this patient. So I did want to clarify that on the first visit, which was March 31st of 2022, the patient was dilated at that visit, and that is reflected in the chart. It was at the second visit, which was exactly 1 year later in March 31st of 2023, where the patient refused the dilation as he's indicated here. It's my understanding that the original records that Dr. Chow produced did not indicate the patient's refusal of the dilation. Dr. Chow was confused by this after this discussion because she recalled having the discussion with the patient, and it was appearing on her electronic chart, but it wasn't appearing in the printed records. So anyway, she called the customer service for her EHR, and they indicated that there was some sort of glitch with their software where it was not appearing on the printed version of the record. But we have submitted that note from the EHR customer support indicating what happened there. In any event, Dr. Shao did discuss the risks of the patient's refusal of dilation at the second visit, but she certainly acknowledges that she could have been more detailed about what was involved in the discussion rather than just, you know, noting that the patient refused dilation. So that is all I have. If there are any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
May I see another word?
Actually, I'm sorry, patient WC, it's your time for comments is over. But okay. when the board okay. opens discussion, we may address you and that you'll have an opportunity to talk.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Answers. Thank you. Okay. So I'd like to thank everyone for their comments. I'm going to open this up for board discussion now. If the board has questions for you, we'll address you individually, and that would be an opportunity to address the board. Otherwise, it's just open for board discussion presently. So I'd like to open this up to the board for further discussion. If there are comments from the board members, this is the time.
Yes, this is Dr. Carpenter. We did go through this at the last meeting, as was stated, and as far as the original complaint about the Medicare charges, we went through all those, and I think the determination there was everything was above board. Sometimes these billing things happen, but there's no wrongful doing there. All the charges looked appropriate. As was pointed out, the concern was with the standard of care being met. And Dr. Shao had recollected that he had not wanted to be dilated, but it wasn't documented on the forms that were provided. And so we gave her the opportunity to provide that, which she has. And the patient also even confirmed that he did not want to be dilated at that visit. So I don't feel like there's been any violation of the Optometric Practice Act here.
Dr. Carpenter, further comments?
This is Dr. Mastoros. I agree. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll also state my comments for the record, just for Dr. Shao's benefit and patient WC's benefit. Some of the concerns raised by patient WC, when the board receives a complaint, it's not only open for review with regard to the complaint, but the record itself is open, and the board itself, if they see any concerns, can also raise a complaint towards the respondent. And so that is why some of this was discussed as far as dilation. I appreciate your candor that you didn't want to be dilated, and we appreciate you making that clear for the record. The concern, though, is that there's a standard of care for a patient with retinal detachment. History, your other eye is at risk for the same condition. Over the age of 60, you should be dilated every year. It should be documented well in the record that there was a thorough discussion regarding the importance of this. So regardless of whether you're a physician or not, the standard needs to be explained to you and why that is so important. So that was the premise for our discussion. As far as some of the billing complaints that you raised, the charges that were, whether the deductible was met or not and the charge was billed after the fact, that's okay. I actually myself have had an issue with a physician's office before sending the bill to the wrong address and sending me to collections, realizing after the fact that they kept sending it to the wrong address and I had to address it. So sometimes mistakes happen. And that's what I think the board is assuming occurred in this case with you and your billing. With regard to the Medicare charge and the prescription, Medicare doesn't cover a refraction as part of your eye exam. And the refraction, it's a non-covered service that doesn't go towards meeting of your deductible, and that is a separate patient responsibility. And so hopefully I've answered some of the questions that you raised in your comments. I also agree that with the further records and patient comments, there's no reason to pursue this further. Other comments, Dr. Cohen, any comments for the board?
Yes, I agree about the comments that you had made. Also the fact that I understand how a patient WC looks at it and thought, what if I had not gone back for that exam? Because to him, it was the first time he's hearing about it. But just for the sake of covering everything, Patient WC, did you have any brief other comment that you wanted to add? I want to make sure that everything's been covered before we vote.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
No, mine was, you know, I feel that my complaint, and if it's, you know, not valid, that's fine. This is a fact-finding thing for me. But I think that I had the two complaints, the overcharging and the charging a year later for my deductible from the previous year. And the office immediately after I brought it up to their attention said, well, we did bill you. Now there's no discussion over that. Now they're coming after me from a compliance standpoint that I didn't comply with something that was medically indicated. And so I think they've switched the narrative on that. So that's all I want to say. I understand that, you know, dilatation is better to visualize the retina. There's no question about that. I also acknowledge that I had no problem with paying for refraction because I understand it is not covered, but I still think there was a billing issue too. It's not so much that it was maybe $20 or $30 in excess. It was just the principle of it. And I think it just created ill will with that office.
This is Dr. Cohn. Thank you, patient WC. I'd like to at least clarify one thing. No one on the board is coming after you. The question came down to the doctor's documentation of that discussion with you. So there's no issue with you about it. The issue about the billing was previously addressed. The discussion is about the doctor's responsibility for educating and documenting.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because I didn't bring that up as an issue. Okay.
Wonderful. Dr. Cohn, does that conclude your comments?
For me, yes. Oh, well, yes, there's two Dr. Cohen's here. I was formerly Dr. Cohen. I'm called now COLE because of racial issues. But yeah, that's confusing. Right. Sorry.
No problem. Yep, no problem. Mr. Ahmed, do you have any comments?
No comments, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. So I think we've thoroughly discussed this. Would anyone like to make a motion?
This is Dr. Carpenter. I move that we dismiss the complaint on the grounds that there's been no violation of the Optometric Practice Act.
Thank you, Dr. Carpenter. Is there a second?
Dr. Mastroise, I second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, so we've had a motion to dismiss and a second. Let's vote. Mr. Hamed, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
Thank you. Dr. Brown?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Cohen?
Aye.
Dr. Mastroise?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 6-0. Agenda item F2, Dr. Mike Wu, IR number 202316. I see Dr. Wu is present. Is patient SG present? No? Any counsel for Dr. Wu? No? Okay. Can I get a board summary for Dr. Wu's complaint?
Madam President?
Yes.
Excuse me for interrupting. Mr. Hammett, can you please let me know what time you joined the meeting? I didn't see you come on until later.
I joined the meeting at 8:20.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you. Board summary for Dr. Wu's complaint? Dr. Carpenter, I see your microphone is off. Maybe you would give us a summary.
I would love to. So let's see. Patient SG went to receive an eye exam on February 7th of 2023 was hoping to see Dr. Wu. He mentioned that he had been in many for a number. I can't remember if it was 8 or 9 years, but had seen Dr. Wu over the years. Noted that on the door, it just said Mike Wu and Associates. And then when he was there for his exam, he actually didn't see Dr. Wu. He saw one of the associates, which was Dr. Karen Grandy, and had his eye exam purchased new eyewear, and seemed to be doing fine with everything, but was upset that he didn't actually see Dr. Wu. And I'm not sure what triggered it, but 2 months later, contacted the office and wanted to see Dr. Wu just for a follow-up, just to make sure that everything was fine. Again, there was never any mention of any concerns with the glasses or concerns of the care, other than he just felt misled, thinking that he was going to be examined by Dr. Wu. Dr. Wu's response just talked about how, yes, they do have associates, and that the staff does everything they can to schedule patients with the doctor of their choosing, and felt like this would have been made known to patient SG. And in other words, they would have had opportunities to reschedule, knowing that they weren't seeing Dr. Wu, but chose not to do that. So that's the summary of the complaint.
Okay. And just to confirm, patient SG is not present, correct? Okay. Dr. Wu, if you'd like to take an opportunity to address the board, this is your chance to do so.
Yes, hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, perfect. So it's pretty much as Dr. Carpenter stated. I wasn't even involved in the care of this patient. I think the patient was seen on February 7th. He called in March 29th, nearly 2 months after. I guess the staff had asked him if he had any problems with his exam, with the care he received, with the glasses that he got. The patient says, no, everything was fine. But since he had expected to see me, he had, you know, wanted to see me again just to confirm that everything was just fine. Well, you know, as you guys know, the doctor's already done their work. They've already completed an exam for the patient, and there were no issues. So other than just having me go back and rehash the whole thing for him, it seemed like that's what he was after. The staff asked me about it. I told them that the patient would be charged as a follow-up care. So if he wanted to see me again, we'd reduce fees, but he'd have a secondary appointment with me. And he refused, and he was very upset about it. I didn't know he was going to co-complain to the board, so this is interesting. As far as the signage he felt misled with, I mean, as you know, most offices have doctor's signage on it. We do have me as the main leaseholder. I do have probably about 6 to 8 doctors working for me in various capacities between two offices. And, you know, we do have, I think, the doctor's names on business cards and other things, but It's not as if it's widely published on, you know, on the door front, if that makes sense. So it was very interesting that he went with the you know, false advertising angle, but that's all I could, you know, I don't have anything else to add. So
okay. Thank you. This concludes open discussion, and then we'll proceed with board discussion at this point. Comments from the board?
So this is Dr. Carpenter again. So the actual complaint, you know, I don't feel, as far as him wanting to see one doctor but seeing another, I don't believe this is a violation of the act, the Optometric Care Act. You know, the patient, the day of the exam, that was really their chance to say, hey, if it's not Dr. Wu, I'd like to reschedule so I can be seen by him. I do have a little bit of concern about the care that was actually provided the patient. With the exam summary that was provided, the main thing that stood out to me were those interocular pressures were above normal. It was never noted in the exam that I can see. I know that this patient has been a patient of this practice for a long time, and maybe that's already been investigated. Maybe the corneas are really thick. Maybe glaucoma has been ruled out many times, but it's not addressed. And so just looking at this as a standalone exam, it seems insufficient. So that would be the concern I would raise.
Thank you. Further comments?
Yes, hi, this is Dr. Cohen. Yes, the to the point that Dr. Carpenter just raised, I don't know what if there's, and maybe one of our esteemed experts could tell us if there's any grounds for us to be discussing the exam itself, since it wasn't conducted by Dr. Wu, and the complaint is against Dr. Wu based on the fact that these other doctors are employed under his lease. So point of information, can we even go into that? He did not see Dr. Wu.
Margaret, do you want to take that?
Yes, thank you, Madam President, members of the board, Dr. Cohen. It wouldn't be appropriate at this moment, but you can certainly have a discussion with your colleagues and decide if you want to open a complaint against the treating physician, the treating optometrist, and then I can open the complaint and the board can have a full discussion at that time.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Whelan. I do have one other comment, just a suggestion, because we've all been faced things like this, particularly in my case as a senior doctor that's since brought on two associates. Just as a suggestion to avoid having to take your time up with a state board complaint, what I've done is, what do I need to do to avoid this escalating potentially? And if a patient had expected to see me or had more faith after the fact in me, I would at least have made a phone call to the patient to see what their concerns are. And if ultimately, if they were a long-term patient, felt more comfortable that I signed off on whatever the results were, I would have certainly considered seeing that patient at no charge, just for creating goodwill and for the long-term relationship. That has nothing to do with the state board potential violations, but just as a practice management issue.
Thank you, Dr. Cohen. I agree. Dr. Mastores, any comments?
I did not notice the eye pressures prior, but now that I see it, have a little concern there, but I agree. These cases can be really difficult in that it's all about, you know, just creating goodwill with the patient. So I probably would have done what Dr. Cohen recommended, but I don't see any violation of the Optometric Act on Dr. Wu's part.
Thank you. Dr. Brown, comments?
Sure, I don't see any violation of the Optometric Act either, and I'm not inclined to open up a complaint for the doctor that's not present.
Mr. Hamed, comments?
Were you trying to talk to Mr. Hamed? I don't think he's involved in this case.
I'm here. Sorry, I was having a problem trying to unmute. Madam Chair, I have to agree with our previous speaker about that. I don't see the need to open a complaint there, and that we should dismiss this one as a result.
Okay, so I'm going to make my comments. I agree with Dr. Carpenter, Dr. Mastores. I have a concern about the pressure of 24 in the right eye, pressure of 29 in the left eye, with no dilated exam, no follow-up, no discussion regarding ocular hypertension, no PEC imagery measurements, OCT is missing. No conversation with the patient, letting them know that this should be followed. Patients over the age of 60, this is, you know, risk of glaucoma. This could be glaucoma sitting in your chair and you've just passed it by. So, I feel like the standard of care was not met by Dr. Grandi in this instance. And I think the board should pursue and open a complaint against her, if for no other reason, just so that this doesn't happen to another patient. So with regard to Dr. Wu, I agree. I see no violation of the Optometric Practice Act and that we should dismiss the complaint against him. So we'll have to see what kind of consensus, I guess, we have. Would anyone like to make a motion?
This is Dr. Carpenter. Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. I agree with the comments that were brought up by Dr. Cohen and others, that just from a practice management standpoint, and somebody who also has associates, yes, anytime something like this comes up, I certainly would side with the patient and do whatever needs to be done to make sure that they're comfortable about the care. You know, I'd want to maybe even just meet with them just to get feedback. You know, why are you seeking me out? Even though he said there's nothing wrong with his glasses, you know, was there anything in that exam that made you feel a little uncomfortable? So So just from a patient management standpoint, yes, I'd want to meet with this patient and just to make sure that they're comfortable. As far as my question is this, I don't remember exactly what all is within our purview as board members, but even just simply a letter to Dr. Grandy just saying, hey, this chart review came up as part of this case that was brought before the board. These are our concerns. Just be more mindful of this in the future, better with your documentation, more thorough with your exam. I just don't know what our options are as far as this goes.
Okay.
Madam President, if I may address Dr. Carpenter's question.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board, Dr. Carpenter. Dr. Grandy has due process and needs to be afforded the right to respond. So it wouldn't be appropriate for the board to do any type of letter at this moment. If the board wants to hear from Dr. Grandy and subsequently issue some kind of action, they would need to go through the complaint process. So I think in this case, the board, based on the discussion, could consider dismissing the complaint against Dr. Wu and then another motion to open a complaint against Dr. Grandy for this patient to give her an opportunity to explain her position and treatment to the board.
Okay. And Madam President, members of the board, this is Mona Baskin. I would concur at this time, you know, those are two separate issues and the board will need to resolve the issue against Dr. Wu. And then should you elect to move forward and open up a complaint against Dr. Grandy, that would have to be done. And then she would have a right to respond. And then the matter would be presented to the board in due course. And you could go ahead and review that and make a decision on those facts.
Ms. Baskin, would anyone like to make a motion with regard to Dr. Wu's complaint?
Yes, this is Dr. Carpenter. I move that we dismiss Dr. Wu's complaint on the grounds that, or the complaint against Dr. Wu on the grounds that there's been no violation of the Optometric Practice Act.
Thank you, Dr. Carpenter. Is there a second?
Yes, this is Dr. Cohn. I second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, so there's been a motion to dismiss the complaint against Dr. Wu and a second. Let's vote. Mr. Hamed, how do you vote?
Aye.
Dr. Brown?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Cohen?
Aye.
Dr. Mastoras?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 6-0. I would like to make a motion to open a complaint against Dr. Grandy regarding the failure to diagnose and poor record keeping in the record with patient SG. Is there a second?
Dr. Mastoras, I'll second.
Thank you, Dr. Mastoras. Any further discussion? Okay, so we'll vote. I've made a motion to open a complaint against Dr. Grandy in regards to patient SG's care. Mr. Hamed, how do you vote? Oh, I'm sorry, Margaret, yes.
Excuse me, Dr. Moffitt. Could you just for the record state the full name of the treating optometrist that you're opening the complaint against?
Yes, it's Dr. Karen Grandy.
Thank you.
Mr. Hamed, how do you vote?
I'm gonna vote no.
Okay. Dr. Brown, how do you vote?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Cohen?
Aye.
Dr. Mastoras?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 5-1. Thank you, everybody. So let's move on to agenda item F3, Dr. John Pearson, IR number 202317. Is Dr. Pearson present? Patient NL present? No. Would someone on the board like to give a summary?
Yes, hi, this is Dr. Cohen. I'd be happy to give a summary.
Thank you, Dr. Cohen.
Patient NL was seen at Desert Eye Care with Dr. Pearson and ordered a pair of glasses on May 8th of 2023
was told it would be about 7 to 10 days for them to arrive, but didn't understand that it might be 7 to 10 working days. And without going through all of the comedy of errors that occurred with this, the glasses were delayed. The patient's concern being that he felt that the sunglasses would be helpful for him dealing with migraine headaches. So he felt a sense of urgency and made multiple attempts to get the status of his glasses. Dr. Pearson gave a very thorough accountability and explanation of what had happened that included reaching a point of saying, well, let's get the patient's insurance reinstated, refund the money, but allow patient NL to still keep the glasses. And there's a misinterpretation or miscommunication somewhere where the lab then canceled the order, which subsequently wound up having a breakage issue or not passing their quality control that required another delay. So the patient ultimately did get the glasses of Dr. Pearson's office, or he offered to personally drop the glasses off. But the patient did get the glasses on June 13th, and Dr. Pearson states that that was the last communication that he had. So I'm working on the assumption, unless I missed it in here, about the issue of the reinstatement of benefits and the refund, but presuming that occurred, the patient wound up with the sunglasses, with benefits reinstated, and with a refund. So that summarizes, I think, with the patient NL's last communication did not include about that ultimately did get the glasses, may have predated the arrival of the glasses.
Thank you, Dr. Cohen. As the patient and respondent are both not present, I'll open this up for board discussion. Comments from the board?
This is Dr. Carpenter. I don't see any violations. I know how frustrating these are for the staff, especially for the patient. But as I was reading through this, and then you zoom out to the conclusion, as Dr. Cohen stated, despite all of these errors, it was only just over a month, and he ended up with a free pair of glasses and had his benefits reinstated. So to me, it sounds like things were resolved and the patient was taken care of. Again, my heart goes out to the frustration. I know when you're in the moment how frustrating it is, but it looks like it's all been resolved and there's been no violations.
This is Dr. Masteris. I agree. I think Dr. Cohen's comedy of errors is the correct way to look at this. I've had this situation in my own practice and it's just awful. You know, it was really cool that they included the lab's comments. He went so as far as to get clarity from the lab. So I thought that was really neat, but I also agree there's no violation of the Optometric Act.
Yes, this is Dr. Cohen. In reading through this, with the exception perhaps of Dr. Pearson in his office lighting a fire under the labs to get the maybe faster than the 7 to 10 business days, I think that he and his office's response to this is exemplary, and particularly just talking about a practice management level, because not only did he offer to refund, but offered to give him the glasses anyway at his expense, and even offered to bring them to his home. The only place that he drew the line was that the patient wanted him to meet him in the parking lot to dispense them. He said he wouldn't commit to that. But I think this is exemplary as far as the practice management standpoint, and we probably all face similar things where when things go wrong, they seem to go wrong with the same patient over and over again. I see absolutely no violation of any of the Optometric Act here.
Dr. Cohen, Mr. Hamed, or were you going to speak?
No.
Okay. Dr. Brown?
I agree with all the comments, and the notes I put down was comedy of errors as well, so I agree.
Yes, I agree. It's unfortunate stream of events there, but I don't see any responsibility really on Dr. Pearson's part. Would someone like to make a motion?
Dr. Brown, I move that we dismiss this complaint as it doesn't violate the Optometric Practice Act.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Hamed. So we've had a motion and a second to dismiss this complaint against Dr. Pearson. Any further discussion? Okay, so we'll vote. Mr. Hamed, how do you vote?
Aye.
Dr. Brown?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Cohen?
Aye.
Dr. Masteris?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 6-0. Moving on to agenda item G, review, discussion, and possible action on pending license by exam applications. G1, Dr. Christopher Wong. So it appears from the records that Dr. Wong had a juvenile arrest history, and that was triggered on the DPS report. Are there any concerns or discussion the board would like to have regarding licensing Dr. Wong?
This is Dr. Brown. I'd just like to note that there was, although arrested, no conviction, and it was while he was a minor with no further records. So
yeah,
it doesn't concern me.
Okay. All good points. Other comments? Dr. Carpenter?
I agree.
Dr. Mastores? Yeah.
I agree.
Dr. Cohen?
I agree.
Mr. Hamed?
I agree as well, and I appreciate him being fully transparent about that.
Would someone like to make a motion?
Dr. Brown, I move that we proceed and grant Dr. Wong his license.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Is that correct? I second that.
Wonderful. Any further discussion? Okay, we've had a motion and a second to accept Dr. Wong's application for licensure. Mr. Hamed, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
Dr. Brown?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Cohen?
Aye.
Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 6-0. Agenda item H, review, discussion, and possible action on pending license applications awaiting fingerprint reports. Request for board approval pursuant to ARS 32-1730. So we have a list of applicants here, 1 through 12, that are awaiting DPS reports. Is that correct? Just fingerprint reports, or is that DPS? Same thing, Margaret.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is the same thing. And all of these applicants are administratively complete, except for the report. And there are no disclosures on any of the applications.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion among the board members, any concern about approving these licensees in anticipation of the fingerprint reports returning?
This is Dr. Carpenter. I have no concerns with granting these licenses.
Dr. Brown?
No concerns.
Thank you. Dr. Mastores?
No concerns.
Dr. Cohen?
No concerns.
Mr. Hamed?
No concerns.
Okay. I also have no concerns. Would someone like to make a motion? I'll do it. So I would move that the board approve licensees numbers 1 through 12 for their license awaiting their fingerprint reports. Is there a second?
I second, Dr. Brown.
Thank you. So we've had a motion and a second to approve these licensees. Any further discussion? Okay. So we'll vote. Mr. Hamed, how do you vote?
Yes.
Dr. Brown?
Yes.
Dr. Carpenter?
Yes.
Dr. Cohen?
Aye.
Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 6-0. Agenda item I, Executive Director approval of new license applications pursuant to ARS 32-3123. So we have through the period of May 12th, 2023 through July 6th, 2023, new licensees A through R. Okay,
thank you, Margaret.
Yeah, thank you, Margaret. Agenda item J, review, discussion, and possible action on approval of continuing education as provided by ARS 32-1704D and AAC R4-21-210. Eyelid anatomy and common eyelid malpositions by Barnett Delaney Perkins and American Vision Partners on August 8th for 1.5 CE credits. Any discussion among the board members regarding the CE? Okay. I thought it looked awesome. I'd love to hit the meeting if I could.
This is Dr. Carpenter. I agree. Looks good.
Yeah, really good. Okay. Other comments, Dr. Brown?
I hope to attend as well.
Great. Dr. Mastores?
Agree. How do I get invited?
Can we put our emails on the list, please?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Hamed, comments regarding the CE?
No comments at all.
Okay. And Dr. Cohen?
No comments.
Okay. Would someone like to make a motion to accept this CE?
This is Dr. Carpenter. I make a motion that we accept this this CE for continuing education.
Okay.
This is Dr. Cohen, second.
Okay, thank you. So we've had a motion and a second to accept the eyelid anatomy and common eyelid malpositions put on by Barnett Delaney Perkins for 1.5 CE credits on August the 8th. Any further discussion?
Yes, I just want to make sure that Dr. Mastores gets a personal invitation. This is Dr. Cohen.
Dr. Cohen, where's my invitation? All right, we'll move on. Mr. Hamed, how do you vote?
Yes.
Dr. Brown?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Cohen?
Aye.
Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 6-0. Agenda item K, review, discussion, and possible action on approval of testing center for proctoring of jurisprudence exam pursuant to AAC R4-21-203C. Number one, community learning center at MiraCosta College, Oceanside, Cardiff, I don't know, Carlsbad, California campuses. Any concerns regarding this potential testing center?
No concerns.
Dr. Brown?
No concerns.
Dr. Mastores?
No concerns.
Dr. Cohen?
No concerns.
Mr. Hamed?
No concerns.
Great, no concerns with me either. Would someone like to make a motion to accept this as a jurisprudence testing center?
Dr. Brown, I make a motion that we accept this testing center.
Is there second. A second? Thank you, Mr. Hamed. So we have a motion and a second to accept the Community Learning Center at MiraCosta College for a jurisprudence testing center for the Arizona State Board. Any further discussion? Okay, we'll vote. Mr. Hamed, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Cohen?
Aye.
Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 6-0. Agenda item L, election of officers pursuant to the provisions of ARS 32-1703A. All right, position number one, position of president. Nominations for the position. Any discussion?
Dr. Mastores, I would like to nominate Dr. Moffitt to continue.
Dr. Brown, I second.
Anybody else want to discuss? I'm fine keeping the position. I don't have any problem, but if anyone else is anxious for it, this would be the time to speak up. Okay, so then I think we'll need, so I accept the nomination, then I think we'll need to vote and we need to make a motion.
I believe there was a motion, Madam Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dr. Mastores moved to keep you as president.
Dr. Brown, I think, seconded. Okay, got it. All right, so then we'll vote. I've been nominated to keep the position of president. Mr. Hamed, how do you vote?
Yes.
Dr. Brown?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Cohen?
Enthusiastic aye.
Thank you. Dr. Mastores?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 6-0. Number two, position of vice president. Nominations for position of vice president.
Yes, this is Dr. Cohen. I make a motion to nominate Dr. Mastores to continue on as vice president.
I'll second.
All right. Any further discussion?
You accept the nomination, Dr. Mastoris?
I do. I have a question, Margaret. I haven't heard back from the governor's office yet. So just wait.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, Dr. Mastoris, unfortunately, we don't have control over that. So you'll just continue to serve until you're reappointed or not reappointed. And okay. It just kind of stays the status quo until then.
Sounds good. I accept.
Lovely. So we've had a motion to nominate Dr. Mastoris to continue as vice president and a second. Mr. Hamed, how do you vote?
Yes.
Dr. Brown?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Yes.
Dr. Cohen?
Another enthusiastic aye.
Dr. Mastoris?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 6-0. Okay, agenda item M, review, discussion, and possible action regarding sunset review and agency continuation. Number one, SB 1075 Optometry Board continuation. Ms. Whalen, would you like to discuss this further?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. Our continuation bill was Senate Bill 1075, as you know. It was actually changed to House Bill 2826 and consolidated, if you will, with a few of the other boards that were up for sunset review and continuation. It was signed by Governor Hobbs on May 19th of this year. And the maximum amount of time that's currently being offered for termination of agencies is 8 years. It was 10 years. We were one of the last agencies on the 10-year timeframe. And we only got 6 years. The legislature was not handing out any kind of 8 years for anybody, pretty much. So I think we did get the maximum that they were giving out. So now our agency is set to expire on July 1st of 2029. And that'll be in statute. So of course, at that time, the year prior, just like this time around, we'll have our sunset review and possible audit. Hopefully the next time it's just a paper audit since we just had the big audit. But either way, we'll go through this again in 6 years. So I'm very appreciative that the governor has seen it, that our agency should continue, that we are completing and managing our mission as we should.
Margaret, good news, I guess.
Yes, yeah, Gary.
We won 8 years, right?
We did, but...
Agenda item N, Executive Director's Report. Margaret, I'll hand it back to you.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. Our budget, the fiscal year 23 appropriation was $298,800, which was recently reduced by $7,500 to $291,300 pursuant to Senate Bill 1720, which transferred over our appropriation for e-licensing costs. So that just happened right at the end of the year. There was a budget bill, a bunch of the smaller boards that were moving e-licensing on Defentia from Salesforce had money appropriated for this fiscal, which was 23. And some of it didn't get used or Defentia didn't kick off the programs. And so it's been transferred pursuant to that budget bill. As of May 31st, 2023, our beginning cash balance was $573,585. With an ending cash balance of $575,355. 91.66% of the fiscal year elapsed with the board spending at 78.63%. There are still a few final fiscal year 23 bills to be paid. So I expect that the board spending percentage will go up just a little bit there. Fiscal year 24 started July 1st, so about a week ago. Our appropriation for this fiscal year is $291,300. Staff activity for May and June of 2023, from May 12th, the date of our last board meeting, through yesterday, July 6th, we have had 50 renewal applications processed, 30 new applications have been received, 18 new licenses were issued, 300 phone calls were fielded, and at least 2,497 emails were received and answered by board staff. We have had 10 board meetings so far this year, including this one. And that's it for the staff activity, excuse me. The Authentia e-licensing update. As you know, I reported at the last meeting that we were expected to launch mid-end of June, which we did. The program launched on June 26th. The old system was down during that time from June 16th to June 26th. We sent out emails to doctors who were renewing in June and July to let them know the system would be down so they didn't freak out trying to get online and unable to renew their license. Staff is catching up and handling issues with Ventia. We're training and fixing the system at the same time. The system wasn't 100% ready to go when we went live, but the reason that we had to go live when we did by June 30th is because end of the fiscal year, we didn't want to pay for support services for Salesforce because our only option would have been 6 months or 12 months, and it would have been an incredible expense for the board to pay for that support for Salesforce and to also pay for Ventia. So unfortunately, we're backing into it just a little bit, Fawn and I, as far as processing applications, but at least the front end is up and running and working. From people are able to renew their licenses and to apply. So the transitional period is a little bit rough, but it is going well. And I would just like to say that our licensees have been very gracious. Those that are having issues, they contact us, we help them, and they're very understanding. So staff is very appreciative of that. The legislative session, general update. This year, again, is the 56th legislature, first regular session, which began Monday, January 9th, 2023. Yesterday was day 179 of session. To date, 1,562 bills have been introduced, 826 in the House and 736 in the Senate. Of those bills, 345 bills were transmitted to the governor, 156 from the House and 189 from the Senate. 202 bills were signed by the governor, 101 from each, exactly, Senate and House. 143 bills were vetoed by the governor, 55 House bills and 88 Senate bills. So far, there has been no indication of sine die, which is the end of session. It's kind of unheard of to be still in session this late. So because of that, we don't really have the effective date for any of the signed bills yet. It is 90 days, sine die. So whenever that happens, it's usually late September. So we could be looking at October, November, depending what this legislature decides they're going to do. I wanted to give a brief update on the ARBO annual meeting, that is the Association of Regulatory Boards of Optometry. New things that were done this year were the ARBO happy hours, which I think some of you have attended. Those are just informative 1 hour presentations by either Dale Atkinson, who's legal counsel for ARBO, or other various speakers on regulatory goings on. It's kind of an opportunity for you as board members to learn about regulatory process. You know, hear about cases and things like that based on whatever the topic of the happy hour is. So I encourage you to attend when you have a chance. And
I don't mean to interrupt you, but with regard to the happy hour, was there any discussion about them recording it so that we could, for those of us who can't be there live, we could actually see what was discussed?
Yes, and ARBO is working on that. There's a little bit of issue with cost and, you know, they don't want it disseminated to non-members. Not that people would, you know, per se do that, but they're working on it. So the short answer is yes. and I'll bring it back up. So with the ARBO leadership, the theme of our meeting this year was regulation, the long and winding road. It was sort of a Beatles theme. And as you know, I'm a big fan of regulation. That's my job. So I'm into it. I actually, as you may or may not know, serve on the board of directors as the member board executive. I'm the only non-OD on that board. I was up for re-election this year. I ran and I was re-elected to the board of directors. So now I'll have a 4-year term with the national board. And something else that ARBO has been working on, which is one of my pet projects, is a Model Practice Act. I think it's really important for the regulatory boards across the United States and also Canada. We include our friends from Canada, Australia, New Zealand for that matter, to have some uniformity and or conformity. I think it will help with legislation. There's so much value to having model practice acts. A lot of other professions have it, you know, social workers, physical therapists. I mean, I think it's really important that optometry kind of get on board. So there is a draft out there for the delegation right now for comment. So I'll see if I can disseminate it to my board members. I don't see why I couldn't, but if you guys wanted to look at it for comment, that would be helpful. One of the other big issues that ARBO has been discussing is DEI, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion. excuse me, it's kind of a hot trending topic now within organizations, whether it be like us, a regulatory board or an employer, but it basically is sort of like a cousin to affirmative action, if you will. It creates you know, equal ground for everybody, you know, regarding job status and work life and things like that, regardless of who they are as a person. So that's a very probably poor overview of what DEI is, but if you're not familiar, you can look it up. There's lots of DEI information online, but ARBO is working on some kind of statement just stating that ARBO is inclusive, and they'll have a DEI statement. So that was also at our meeting. our keynote speaker was, and I thought I was going to write his name down and I didn't. I believe it's John White. He's the medical director for WebMD. So he was our keynote speaker. He was very interesting. I think people would like to have him back next year at the ARBO conference. So I encourage you again as board members to attend ARBO. If we have the funds, I will pay for you to go. Any board member can attend. It doesn't just have to be the president or vice president. So the meetings are usually in June, and they're usually over Father's Day, unfortunately. So if that bothers you, you probably won't go. A lot of people don't come because of that, but I think it's a good meeting to at least attend once, just to kind of see what's up and what the sort of national association that's not the AOA is doing for us, the regulatory boards.
Where is the next meeting?
Next meeting is June 16th through 18th in Nashville, Tennessee. So because we travel east, you know, it's always easier to go on Saturday afternoon or evening, because the meeting is usually Sunday, Monday, and half a day Tuesday. Okay. So that concludes my ARBO update. Are there any future agenda items that the board would like to see?
Awesome. I have a question. Whatever yes. happened to that bill about the guy with the expiration dates for glasses? Is that still on the table?
Oh, no. That died a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, thank you.
Apologies if I didn't update, but yes, so far so good. Okay, I do not hear any future agenda items. Future board meeting dates, I would ask the board to meet August 4th next month. I have, I believe, 4 complaints that will be ready for that board meeting. We just received them in the last 2 weeks, so they weren't eligible for this meeting. And I believe we'll have 1 or 2 applicants who will need to be approved as well.
Thank so, you. The 4th is fine with me. How about other board members?
I can do it, Dr. Mestoris.
I can do it, Dr. Brown.
I can do it, Sammy.
This is Dr. Cohen. I think I can. I go on vacation on the 3rd, but I think I'll have access to call in on the 4th.
Well, if you're on vacation and we have a quorum, Dr. Cohen, you don't have to, but I do appreciate the effort.
Well, count me in on planning to attend then.
Dr. Carpenter, how's the 4th for you?
I should be able to attend.
Okay. Should we keep the 8 a.m. time then too? Oh, sorry, Ms. Baskin.
Pardon me. Yes, I have you all blocked in, so I am able to attend.
Perfect. So then I would be looking at, you know, depending on board business, I would be looking at October 6th and December 1st to finish out the year after the August meeting. So I think that's, you know, like I said, hopefully the complaints will slow down and Ms. Becker and I will have a chance to really dedicate some time to Thentia, to the e-licensing and whatnot. So, but I would appreciate the August 4th meeting. So thank you so much.
Put the October date down, so I'll keep it open. And what was the December date you mentioned, Mark?
December 1st.
Okay.
That should be a good date. It's not Thanksgiving week, and it's early enough in December for any of the major religious holidays and things like that. Hopefully we aren't impeding on those.
Great. And 8 a.m.
Margaret, is that...
Sorry, Dr. Cohen.
Margaret, could you repeat the October date again? I'm sorry.
October 6th.
October 6th and then December
1st.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. I really appreciate you availing yourself. So I will look forward to August 4th at 8 a.m. virtual for our next meeting. And with that, my report is concluded, Madam President.
Okay, lovely. Congratulations on your reelection, Margaret.
Thank you.
For you. Agenda item O, call to the public. Would any members of the public like to address the board? Okay. Agenda item P, motion to adjourn. Would someone like to make the motion?
Move to adjourn.
Thank you. Is there a second?
This is Dr. Carpenter. I'll second it.
Thank you. So we've had a motion and a second to adjourn our meeting. Any further discussion? All right, so we'll vote. Mr. Hamed, how do you vote?
Aye.
Dr. Brown?
Aye.
Dr. Carpenter?
Aye.
Dr. Cohen?
Aye.
Dr. Mestores?
Aye.
I also vote aye. Motion passes 6-0. So this concludes this July 7th meeting of the Arizona State Board of Optometry.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you all.
Thank you.